This is your tech news briefing for Friday, February 28th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Google's got its head in the clouds. Cloud computing, that is. The company's been making changes to deliver growth in that part of its business, and that shift has a lot to do with some new leaders there. Reporter Aaron Tilley will join us to explain. That's coming up after these headlines. The Federal Communications Commission is seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in fines from the country's top cell phone carriers. The FCC says AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon, among others, have failed to safeguard information about customers' real-time locations, even after they told Congress they'd stop sharing data with third parties. But the notices they received are not final, and the companies can still appeal. DoorDash says it's filed to go public. The 7-year-old food delivery service is privately valued at nearly $12.6 billion. The company leadership says they haven't decided on a price range or how many shares will be offered, but the move is setting the company up to IPO as early as this spring, despite plunging stocks right now. DoorDash and its underwriters at Goldman Sachs say they're hoping the volatility will have passed by then. And gone are the days of the Nigerian prince. The FBI says email scams have become much more sophisticated schemes, costing people in the U.S. billions of dollars each year. And they're getting more common. Last year, the FBI received more than 23,000 complaints, up from around 5,000 at the beginning of the decade. So how do you avoid getting scammed? Our reporter Corinne Ramey has a tip.
So it's a really low-tech solution and something that we don't like to do these days, but picking up the phone is kind of magical because these guys don't talk on the phone. Like, let's say you work in an HR department and you get an email from a vendor saying, oh, I want to change the account. I've used the same one for like 20 years and now I have a new one. You might just want to pick up the phone and call and say, did you actually send this email?
For more on that story, head over to WSJ.com. Up next, Google is setting its sights on the cloud. Our reporter Aaron Tilley will join us to explain after the break. You probably say Google it about 10 times a day, and that's because most people think about Google as a search business or an advertising business. But recently, the company has been making changes to try and deliver growth in its cloud computing business. And that has a lot to do with some new leaders at the company. We've got our tech reporter, Aaron Tilley, with us to explain. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron, Google's had cloud computing offerings for a while, but it's been putting more emphasis on it recently. Why is this strategic for Google right now?
Well, for Google, this represents the whole cloud sector represents a huge, huge growth. It's probably one of the biggest growth businesses in tech right now. There's a huge market expanding of legacy sort of back-end IT infrastructure moving to these big public clouds. And Google has one of the best sort of technical back-ends in the world, really. And so the potential here is really massive, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars kind of billion-dollar business. And to miss out would be a huge loss for them. So they're seeing the kind of growth that Amazon is getting with Amazon Web Services, the kind of growth that Microsoft with their Azure public cloud service is getting, and they don't want to miss out because, you know, with some of the best technical backends, like, it could be huge for them.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Amazon Web Services, Microsoft, Alibaba is also right up there. They are really the leaders in cloud computing right now. Google only has about 4% of the market. It feels like they've got a ways to go to catch up.
Yeah, it's a huge uphill battle for them. They've been trying to compete in this market really seriously since 2015, but the inroads, and they have been slow, and they haven't really been, they've been growing fast, but they haven't been growing with the market. So they've been a little bit left behind, and a lot of that is because some of the back-end processes and things weren't in place to, I think, really compete there for these big enterprise deals that Google wasn't being taken seriously.
So we talked about leadership. One guy is really driving a lot of this, Thomas Kurian. Tell us, who is he? What kind of changes is he making at Google?
Yeah, Thomas Kurian is a enterprise executive of some renown. He has been in the business for decades. He was at Oracle for over 2 decades. And he really has that background to, I think, help boost Google's profile here. He joined in late 2018. He's been described by people as almost robotic. He has this. He's so on target. He's perfectly dressed. He has this smoothness about him, and he really knows how to wheel and deal these kinds of big enterprise deals. And he's very strategic in these kind of products around enterprise deals. So he has this kind of background that I think will really help them. And he has made a lot of changes behind the scene to get them to another level.
He's wielding deals, but he's also making changes at Google, right?
Yeah, behind the scenes, you know, it's a bit of a culture clash. I mean, Google is a very engineering-led, consumer-facing company. They build really cool technology, and they offer it to the consumer, and the consumer can take it or leave it. And a lot of the times, they do take it. In the enterprise world, it doesn't work that way. You have to go to customers. You have to ask them, what do you want, and deliver what they're asking for. And so this is not in Google's DNA. So Thomas Kurian is coming in and trying to remake some of that DNA, getting the engineers to listen to the customers more. And that is a big change for them. They're not used to having to do the sort of boring things that enterprises need to have in order to succeed here. Yeah, just sort of reorienting that culture to think more about the customer is a big focus of his. He's hiring up a huge team. He's planning to triple the amount of front-facing sales kinds of positions in Google Cloud. And that's very expensive undertaking, but that's a part of this culture change he's bringing to Google Cloud.
Is he, I mean, I'm assuming if you're coming in from way behind in a race like this where other people are also not just ahead of you, but also seeing the growth and that spurring them also to innovation, that you really got to focus. Where is he focusing his efforts on for Google?
He's talked about, six industries he's really focusing in on, things like healthcare, government work. He's focusing on industries, and he's trying to focus on Google's strength, and that is really in the artificial intelligence, analyzing big data, machine learning, you know, all of that that's made Google really famous. They're trying to package that up better for outside companies to take advantage of. That's one way he could really grow the business and catch up there. Certainly, he's not afraid of, he's quite hungry for acquisitions here. During his time at Oracle, that was an acquisitive period. They bought their way into growth. Kurian tells me they're not trying to buy their way into growth, but that certainly would help, and I've heard some rumblings about that, so we may be seeing that in the years to come.
And we've seen other companies really see a lot of growth in overseas operations. Is he looking? Where is he looking?
He is looking overseas. One of the most interesting tidbits I heard while reporting this story was some interest in getting back into China, and that is a very controversial topic for Google. Because Larry Page, Sergey Brin, the founders, they backed out in 2010. They backed out of building a search engine, having a search engine project in China. Any efforts to resume work there were kind of, as soon as made public, quickly squashed. So any efforts to kind of grow there is controversial. I mean, growing cloud computing business there isn't the same as delivering a censored search engine, but certainly it is a tricky and a very thorny issue. Particularly, he has explored bringing this product called Anthos into China, and this Anthos product would be running on a native Chinese cloud provider like Alibaba or Tencent, but using Google technology inside those cloud providers.
So you mentioned before that this kind of client-facing, customer-facing operation is not really in Google's DNA. How have people in the company been responding to this big push?
Yeah, among the engineering ranks, I spoke to quite a few of them. You know, they think what Thomas is doing is very smart and is. You know, the right direction for Google Cloud, but personally, they feel like it's too much like a normal tech company. They have deadlines now. They have people telling them they have to deliver a certain feature that they don't care about. For a long time, to get promoted as an engineer inside Google Cloud is solving very tricky engineering problems. To succeed in the cloud and the enterprise is not dealing with tricky engineering problems. It's about providing pretty boring but necessary services to their customers.
So there's been some pushback. How do you think this is going to go over in the long term for him at Google?
It's a tricky question to answer because a lot depends on his support from the top down at Google. His predecessor, Diane Greene, in some ways didn't get that support to make those big changes, to make, you know, big acquisitions, to really push the company ahead in cloud computing. And so it really depends on the support he gets from people like Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, and Ruth, the CFO of Google. We'll have to see how that works out. History doesn't look well on that, but we'll see.
All right. Tech reporter Aaron Tilley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. It really helps. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, follow us on Twitter, WSJ Podcasts. Our Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. From all of us at The Wall Street Journal, thanks for listening.